You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast. This is not a normal numeric episode. Jason is out this week, so we are just having a little conversation with me, and I wanted to speak specifically to the single men out there, those guys who are not married, primarily to Christian brothers, because there's some issues surrounding singleness that I think are really not healthy in the life of the church. And the first thing is that marriage is very good. It's very good, and it's blessed by God. It's actually even one of those things that is an act of worship. It shows cases the gospel. I mean, look at Ephesians chapter 5, for example, you know, where he's talking about husbands and wives and begins, you know, the text by saying everyone should be in submission to one another out of the reverence for Christ. And then he goes on to talk about then what does that look like? Well, wives, submit to your husbands, and then husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And it's this beautiful picture of what marriage is and what marriage should look like. And to be fair, a lot of marriage, both in and outside the church, does not reflect this, because husbands are not loving their wives like Christ did for the church. I mean, literally dying for her, dying to themselves for her. And as a result, you know, you're not seeing that picture really borne out in a lot of cases. But where that picture is really showcased, where a husband is loving his wife like Christ did the church, and a wife is submitting to her husband, it's a beautiful love and respect picture, as the passage, the text ends in that chapter. And that points us to the gospel. It points us to Christ and his church. And while all of that is really good and beautiful and wonderful, it so often has become an idolatry in the life of the church. And it's become an over-important thing. In fact, in a lot of churches, single people aren't really engaged in ministry because they're really seen as sort of second-class citizens. And that's really unhealthy and unfortunate. And so what I would really want to talk about in this episode is encouraging single men. And in full transparency, I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that I'm a single man. Jason's married, has a wife, and has kids. So we have, you know, kind of those two perspectives that we bring to the table here. I really wanted to just encourage from a perspective of being a single man myself, and really have thought a lot and even wrestled a lot with a lot of what the Bible has to say around these things. And here's the base encouragement that I want to offer here in this episode. If you're single, we've got to use that for the glory of God. In fact, the church needs the engagement of single men. The kingdom of God needs the engagement of single men. Our communities need the engagement of single men. You know, everybody needs the engagement of single men. And there's a lot of reasons for that. The main one is that we have a unique opportunity where we do not have to be worried about a family. We don't have to be worried about our wife. We don't have to be worried about kids. We don't have to be worried about those things. And as a result, then, it provides us great opportunity and great free time that can then be invested for the glory of God. And too often what I see happen is single guys, you know, they just sort of wait to get married. And in the meantime, they just kind of squander away their life playing video games all the time, or just sort of really staying immature in a lot of senses. And that's not to say playing video games is bad in a healthy moderation, but that mentality I think is really bad, where, you know, it's just, I'm just waiting to get married. And if I don't get married, then I can be selfish with my time and do whatever I want to do. And that's not good. And in fact, you know, one of the main complaints of single women today is that men, that there aren't any good marriage material men out there, or at least they're hard to find. And these women want to be married, but they want a specifically speaking to Christian women, I mean, people who really desire to have God in the center of their lives. They're, one of their biggest complaints is that there aren't any good marriageable men that are, you know, have a strong relationship with Christ, that are seeking to grow every day, walking in relationship with Him, that they aren't growing to be emotionally emotionally strong, healthy individuals, something we call EQ, emotional intelligence, and able to, you know, connect and relate and get over, you know, the issues from their past, from growing up or from family trauma or, you know, whatever the case may be. And then, of course, they tend to be immature because they're just focused on selfishness and selfish pursuits. You know, like we just mentioned, playing video games a lot, or, you know, just really spending all their time and money in the pursuit of pleasure instead of other things. And there's several reasons for this, but and we'll talk about those a little bit later. But I want to shift that paradigm. There's a phrase I like to use a lot when I'm talking to people. I say, I enjoy being single. Like, yes, there's a desire to be married. I think that desire is apparent in most people. I mean, God really encoded us to be made for relationship and to be made for marriage and interaction in that sense. However, we can be content while still having the desire for marriage and focusing that energy somewhere else. And so what do I mean by this? Well, the beauty of singleness as it relates to gospel ministry is really presented to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you know, where he says, first of all, in verse 8, he says, "And I say to the unmarried or to the widows, it is good for them to remain as I am." Paul, of course, was a single man and did his ministry as a single man. In fact, a large part of how he was able to do what he did was because he's single. Now, of course, he says in verse 9, "But if you do not have self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with desire." We'll talk about that a little bit later. But then you drop down to verse 32. He really picks this up. He says, "I want you to be without concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And this and then his interest is divided." And the same thing to an unmarried woman. Same thing. As a single woman, her concern is for the Lord and the things of the Lord, versus a married woman whose concern is for the things of the world and how she can please her husband. And so Paul's pointing to this obvious reality that as a single person, you have a unique opportunity to really engage for gospel purpose in a way that married men cannot. And I'll, you know, share a little bit of how this plays out in my life. Because I'm able to engage in ministry, I can do a lot of different things that my married counterparts cannot do. An example would be, you know, I can ostensibly work two jobs. I can work full-time outside a ministry vocation and also engage in ministry to the same level as another full-time job. I'm able to do that. Certainly, you know, I don't worry about where I spend my time on evenings and weekends. And as a result, you know, oftentimes I spend most of my weekends working towards ministry and gospel purpose, and spend a lot of my evenings, you know, doing the same thing. I don't have to worry about, am I neglecting my wife? Am I? And here's the thing, if you're married, these are real concerns. The Apostle Paul is not saying, hey, you're wrong as a married person for doing that. No, in fact, if you're married, you have a gospel charge to care for your wife. You have a gospel charge, if you have kids, to care for your kids. And that actually comes before, you know, those other external activities. And so that's very much a high priority. But as single people, we don't have that. And so I'm able to spend most all of my weekends devoted to ministry-related activity. I'm able to spend most of my evenings of the week related to ministry activities. I'm able to, you know, do a lot of things and move around easily for the glory of the Lord, for the gospel purpose that he's given. And that's a good and healthy and beautiful thing, because I don't have a wife, because I'm not, you know, burdened in that sense. Not to say that in a negative way, but not burdened with that responsibility. And so I have a special opportunity. And then along with that, we got to, you know, talk about the obvious, or one of the obvious things is sexual motivation, sexual desire. Now, keep in mind, you know, everybody has sexual desire, men, women, everybody has it. God gave it to us. He instilled it to us. But for whatever reason, you know, God gave men more desire in that sense. And some of that is purely biological. The body works the way it works. You know, as a man, you produce sperm, and that sperm is stored in, you know, the testes, the testicles, and that storage space is limited. And so as that storage fills up, the pressure, the sexual desire, if you want to put it that way, becomes more intense, and the desire to release it then becomes, you know, a stronger factor. And so I say all that not to get weird and in detail. It's a little awkward to talk about in that sense, but it's a real thing. So recognize, you know, this desire is real, and it's not bad in and of itself. You know, God created the desire, and that's good. God created the biology the way he created it, and that's good in God's design. So all of those things are good. However, we have a choice of what we're going to do with that desire. And that's where, you know, the challenge often comes in for single people, married people as well. I don't mean to say that struggling with sexual sin is a single person only thing, because it's absolutely not. We see that both married and single men, you know, struggle with this. And while I'm not talking to women here, we also want to recognize that women can struggle with these things as well. What we understand is that is, well, it's less common than men, it's still very common in women as well. So we don't want to downplay that. The reason for that is it creates shame, right? We often talk about that desire and struggle for men, but we don't often talk about it, you know, for women. And we need to, because it's a real thing on that side as well. And we don't want to create undue shame there. I mean, obviously shame, in my view, is never good. It never leads us to God, never leads us to repentance. It never leads us to, you know, run to cling to Christ in a greater way. It just creates a shame identity, which then moves us further away from God. Now, guilt is good. And that's the difference. You know, guilt comes from the Holy Spirit. That's a good and beautiful and wonderful thing. It's a recognition that I have sinned. And as a result, it leads me to confession. It leads me to repentance. It leads me to the foot of the cross. It leads me straight to Christ. And that's all very good stuff. So don't think that when I say shame is bad, I'm saying guilt is bad. No, guilt is good. Shame is bad. And most of it is the identity statement involved. But that's a topic for a whole different time. So back to the greater point. So as a single person, it's so easy to get caught up in the desires of the flesh, and as a result, really move yourselves out of a position where you're able to effectively serve Christ and his church, to make disciples and to share the gospel and to really be engaged in the work of Christ in the local church and in missions and around the world. In fact, what we're seeing, especially when it comes to missionaries, is the vast majority of them these days are women that are going out. And I think one of the largest reasons with that for that is sexual addiction is really robbing a lot of men, both of the motivation and, of course, the moral standing or desire to be engaged in the ministry of Christ. And so we want to encourage on that scale as well. And one of the things I've, you know, thought about a lot over the last couple years, there's an idea of transmutation. It sort of originated, at least I became familiar with it, as a means for, you know, sort of delaying sexual gratification. But instead of just, you know, hey, I'm not going to engage in these activities, I'm going to actually use that energy for another purpose. And so why do I talk about that? Well, that's not a concept that really comes up in the Bible in those specific terms, but I see some overplay in that sort of thing. Think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, so one chapter before what we were just reading. Beginning of verse 18, it says, "Run from sexual immorality. Every sin a person can commit is outside the body. On the contrary, the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Do you know that your body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." And I think the traditional thinking about this is to say we glorify God in our body by, you know, as a single person, not engaging in sexual sin of any kind. You know, the various categories you have. Porneia, which is sort of the catch-all phrase. It means everything that is outside of God's design. And then you have other words as well. Asinikakoi, dealing with, you know, same-sex sexuality. The Bible speaks to not, you know, committing adultery or, you know, engaging like that. You know, don't engage in any of these things that are outside of God's design. So we glorify God in our body that way by abstaining from those things, you know, as single people. Obviously married people glorify God in their bodies by engaging sexually with their wife, but solely with their wife, not in pornography, not with other women or other people, you know, none of that kind of stuff. But as a single person, we glorify God in our body by not engaging. But if you're like me, well, that's good and important. It's still kind of a negative thing in the sense that, like, okay, I glorify God just by abstaining, which is not really a lot of fun. I mean, that's just very difficult and it's not as positive. But think about it in terms of if you bring this transmutation idea to the table, is it possible that as a single person, glorifying God in our body actually means not just abstaining from sexual sin, but also engaging in the glory of the gospel and using that sexual energy for that purpose? And I don't mean doing sexual things. I mean, taking that extra drive or that extra intenseness or that extra, you know, whatever you want to call it, extra energy, and using that for greater gospel purpose. You know, if you have this extra energy, then why not use it for the glory of God? And then you've spent it in a healthy and productive way, but certainly haven't done so in a sinful way. So that's one of those things that, you know, it, at least in my mind, I see glorifying God in my body as a positive in that sense. Now, having said all that, we certainly recognize the reality of sexual sin and the temptation surrounding those things and the struggles, you know, that are there. That's all a real, you know, thing. And we don't want to deny or downplay that. I mean, obviously, I know very well, Jason also knows very well, you know, what it is to be a man and have these desires and struggle with the temptations there. I'll say in my own story, you know, of course, I have definitely in the past struggled with sexual addiction and sin in several different respects, for sure. You know, obviously dealing primarily with things like pornography or masturbation, those are just very difficult and easy things to fall into, those traps that can become very addictive. And so I'm definitely not downplaying the reality of those struggles. And I would say, you know, to any of the guys out there listening that have these struggles, we would love to help you. Jason and I, you know, feel free to contact us or contact the podcast and we'll get in contact with you, point you to some really great resources that can help you see the truth of God's word played out in your life, as you seek the Holy Spirit to see change in those areas brought about. But I would really implore you, I guess, to recognize that these sexual addictions, these sexual struggles with sin, they really are destroying your life in a lot of ways. And a lot of the difficulty that men have today in terms of stepping up into leadership and responsibility is very much centered in these issues a lot. You know, we recognize that sexual addiction in the church, 70% of men in the church, or really just short of that, 69%, are and do struggle with unwanted sexual issues, addictive issues, primarily pornography, masturbation, you know, those things. But there can be other ones as well. And so I guess the encouragement is just really take these things seriously. Get them rooted out of your life by the power of Christ. And then, of course, good accountability and the full counsel of the Word of God on these issues. The Bible actually talks very practically about so many different things. It speaks to the emotional, the physical, the physiological, and then the brain stuff. You know, all of that is in the Bible. And when we follow the counsel and advice, seek after the Holy Spirit, you know, walk in good accountability, those things can be rooted out in our lives. And so that's all very, very important. So we just want to address that really quick. So if you are, if you are out there struggling with these issues, definitely contact Jason or contact me and we'll help you get pointed to some really good resources and then can, you know, walk with you a little bit in terms of some good Bible guidance for dealing with these issues. Because we really do want you to be stepping up in productive ways to step into the kind of leadership that Christ would have you and become a huge blessing to the church, to have that singleness become a huge blessing to the people of God and a great opportunity to make disciples and to grow the kingdom of God. So very seriously encourage you to both be encouraged that singleness is a good thing. It's a God glorifying thing, that there is a way to really live out the gospel and to make disciples and to grow the kingdom of God, being fully devoted to Christ. There's a beauty in that kind of walk and life. And also recognize that even the things that are more challenging about being single can also turn into some of the greatest assets to that end, to recognize that these things, the fleshly things, are very fleeting, but the eternal things, the things to come, are worth, you know, any of the sacrifice that you may experience as you walk through life, you know, given those things. One of my favorite quotes that I've shared, you know, on this podcast a few times I love it. It brings my heart so much encouragement to showcase, you know, the singleness as being a beautiful thing that can be used for the Lord. It's from a guy named Ed Shaw. And I don't know him. I don't really know a whole lot about him. I just read this quote one time and I just love it. He says, I know that there are many today who think it is a great tragedy to die a virgin, but I hope that I will, because I know that I will not have lost out on anything too significant, because the Bible teaches me that I will have missed only a brief foretaste that sex is meant to be of the eternal reality of the present, of the perfect union between Christ and his church, and I will only, and I will one day experience forever, Revelations 21, 1 through 15, any reflections I've given up in the meantime will be more than worth it then. I just love that quote. It's such an encouragement to like, okay, the things of the flesh will pass, the things of life, this earth will pass, and yet the glory of God is eternal. And so anything we sacrifice for the glory of God now will be more than worth it in his presence. And so be encouraged, my single brothers out there that may be listening to this, you know, step up into ministry leadership. Even if the church doesn't necessarily love it, use your singleness for the glory of God, for the glory of the gospel. Be selfish for God's kingdom and really step up, step out, grow, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, become the fullness of the kind of man God intends you to be, which is not one who's living for himself. Even if you're not married, we're still not intended to live for ourselves, to live selfishly. Let us be the kind of men that are a blessing to our church, that are a blessing to our community, that are a blessing to all the people around us, married or not, and ultimately help Christ's kingdom be realized in the lives of all those people around us. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.